and just enough space in between to go through and have your little table and things like that. So there you are. I mean, there's no such thing as a privacy. So they would, some of them would wrap saris, cotton printed saris, around their beds where the mosquito powers are. You know, like they would. So then it becomes a little tent. So your bed becomes your private room. Of course, you can hear everything, but at least you're not seen. And so how Baba would work, one day he said to me, Nurina was in her igloo, that kind of thing, and writing away, because she would give wonderful talks on Baba. I mean, at that time it was Nurina, like later it was Adi, you know, sin. So Nurina was writing away, she was being inspired. Baba suddenly comes from down the hill. We're in the east room, Mara's in my room, and Baba comes. So the moment Baba comes, you go out and say, everybody, Baba wants you. And everybody drops whatever they're doing, whether they're cooking or washing clothes or drawing or painting or writing or thing, whatever it is, you just go in. And so they would all just come in and... So then Baba said, no, don't call everybody now, don't call. But only the ones that are there. So everybody came. Nurina didn't know. She's still in a igloo writing away. And Baba said, somebody said, Baba, should we call Nurina? No, no. He turns to me and says, go and see what she's doing. And tell her, I want her. So I go out of the east room, go around that what's now the library, go up the steps, and go see Nurina. And you see, those are the steps they have been climbing all the time. And the delicate darlings of now, you see. So anyway, Baba says, go and see. So I said, I came back. I said, yes, she's there. What was she doing? I don't know, Baba. Now go and tell her, give her this message. And say something. So I go and I said, Nurina, yes. I said, Baba's calling you soon. Was it calling or was it a message?
Yeah, something
like
that.
To
message.
Baba's giving this message, that's it. It was only a message. Baba says, la, 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 so. Yes. And she goes on writing. So I come down the steps, past the library, into the east room. Baba says, well, what happened? Did you say, did you give my message? Yes, Baba. What did she say? She said yes. Go again. Go and give that message to her. So I go up again, out from the room, past the library, up those steps, inside the room. Nurina, oh, she must have said, there she is again. Yes? I said, Baba says, yes, but I heard you, yes. So I come back. And each time Baba asked me, was she excited? Was she angry? And so for the first two times, I said, no, she's not excited, Baba, she wasn't. Third and the fourth time, she just let out, wah! I'm here, I'm writing for Baba. Don't you understand, darling? This is for Baba that I'm doing. This is Baba's work, and you come. No, so you see, I go down and Baba seemed very pleased then. Oh, so he got a reaction from her. You see, he was stirring up something, he got a reaction from her. Oh, so she was angry. All right, go and tell her I'm calling her. Oh, gosh, I couldn't believe that. I'm going up the stairs. I tiptoed into the room, just said, Nurina, Baba wants you, and ran back into the room. Of course, the moment she said, Baba wants you, she came. And she came down. And then it was just calm. So you see, while she was working for Baba, Baba was working on her. Not to grow up, to keep calm. No, never mind if this work is for Baba. How would Baba want you, to be, you see? Very subtle way.
Rana, what was Mani like in this?
Yeah. Yes,
Dora. The truth.
Yes, Dora, I'm coming, Dora. I'm wanted, I gotta go. Yeah.
Are you waiting?
Oh, I just said
money was full of beans.
But it's full of beans.
Beans?
Mexican jumping.
But not, it's fun. money. But little by little with the Westerners we came out more. When I first came to Baba, left home for good when I was in Mehrabad when I was only 15, I was quite different. Very earnest. It was a thing that I'd chosen, and it wasn't like you see us now. It wasn't like that at all. I mean, going through this was not an easy thing. It wasn't a joke. The orders, for instance, very little things, nothing that we can wave about or boast about, but it's a thing that you have to grit your teeth. As I said, it's like hanging from a cliff. And yet, like in the new life, when people said, what did you think about us? Hanging from a cliff. And yet, like in the new life, when people said, what did you think about? I said, what do you think about when you're hanging from a cliff just with the tips of your fingers? You don't think. You just, you know, hold on. And yet, there was that joy. Even in the new life, there was that freedom. This being with Baba, there was that you wouldn't want anything else. Our only fear was that Baba might send us away. Because there was no other binding except to want to be there. And but it was a very earnest thing. I mean, in the beginning, the training was that your every moment, your every thought, your every action was not yours at that. There was no room in any part of your life for yourself. It was as Baba wants, what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, what he is. And sometimes even these little orders that Baba had given, not on the subtle side, but on the practical side, you know, oh, at 10 o'clock I've got to take this vitamin pill, at 2 o'clock I've got to see to the birds here, at 3 minutes to this one has to do that, and supposing something else happens at that, you mustn't forget, you know. And to be that, for Mayor to, it seems so different now. For instance, when we came to Baba, we were told not to read any spiritual books, not even Baba's books. You know, we were just empty for whatever he wanted to fill it with, however he wanted, with no expectation or thought of anything except to be here, to be with Baba, doesn't matter what. And it's no joke. It's no joke being with Baba. But it's the only thing worth your whole life, or what? Oh, he's putting a new tape. So, it's extraordinary how when every little bit, nothing was your own, you understand? No need, want, no thought, no moment was your own. It's just holy Baba. And then it was in the latter years, in the very much latter years, that, of course, after the Westerners came, we acquired coming out of ourselves much more than before. I mean, I would say things to Kitty or Norina now, which I wouldn't then, you know, things like that. We were a bit shy, even when we were in Cannes. I mean, we didn't be taught, but we never could say it. It was so different. Because Baba started out on me. I give this example again and again, I'm sorry, but it's the one that gives some idea. So when I first came, all right, I've been with Baba all my life. Every holiday from school I've spent with Baba. Every moment that was free, Mother would bring me over, even if it was for a few days, and I'd be with Baba. But when I decided to leave home for good and come to Baba, my mother was sometimes, she was a very shrewd, intelligent, practical person, and she loved me, and she knew that I was going to Baba, that I'd was determined, and she didn't want to come in the way. So she said, I was very fond of, I was very particular about food. Not about clothes, but about food. It had to be such and so. This dish had to be cooked with this dish. This has to accompany this and things. And I was very fond of meat, fish, and eggs. Not vegetarian. I was no vegetarian at all. Except like bhajiyas, which is in the family, which Baba loved just as much, and I still love them all. Which is made out of chickpea flour, the batter, the bhajiya that I'm talking, this deep fried thing. I particularly mention it because it has always been a love of Baba and the whole family, and I still do. So, when Mother would say, well, Mani, all this time, I want to go and be with Mehrog, I want to live with Mehrog, and But there, what are you going to do there? Here, even if one little thing is missing, you push away your food and say you're not hungry because it's not to your liking. So there's no meat there, there's no fish there, there's no eggs there. What are you going to do? How are you going to then like that? I said, well, I'll be with Baba and I like it. After all, I like rice and dal, just as Mara, Naja, Porsche, they all have. I'll have the same thing. Now see how Baba works. So he gets you, he strengthens you through your weaknesses. So the weaknesses are a blessing if you hand them over to Baba, if you surrender or give to Baba. So one of the first things he did was he sent me to a doctor. I forget now, but he sent me to a doctor, a Gujarati doctor. And this most difficult of orders, he said, do whatever the doctor tells you. Now he shifted that obedience. And you could do anything for Baba. Obeying Baba, he tells you, jump down that cliff. Ah, but you wouldn't do that. He says, do. Of attitude, that's the kind of our understanding at that time. You know, there was no questioning, ever, not even by thought. Oh, I go to the doctor. Whatever the doctor says, I do. Fine. So the doctor tells me all kinds of things. You know, like everybody hates castor oil, and that used to be one of my bugbears. One of the first things the doctor says, every Sunday, you have so much castor oil. And then you do this, and you do that. And you have no dal, no lentil of any kind. Which means no chickpea flour. Which chickpea flour is a substitute for eggs, meat, and fish for every variety of things that you make in the kitchen. The people who are vegetarians in India, all the sweets are made out of the chickpea flour. All the bhajas and all the sour things, all the salty things, all the chili things, everything. The background, the basis of it is, the main ingredient in this whole thing is the chickpea flour. This means out. No rice and dal even. No rice and dal. Which I said, I have rice and dal, just like, well, no dal. So, what Naja would do is, because of our vegetarian life at that time, for years we had it, she would make omelettes out of this gram chickpea flour, in which you put onions and chilies and kochmir and herbs and all. It's very delicious because it has this crumbly element about it, that chickpea flour. You can break it, you know. But for me, because I couldn't have that, she used to make wheat flour omelette. So there was this wheat flour, which is sticky, you know, tenacious thing. And here was all this onion and things put on. But I was young. I was hungry. I'd stand outside the kitchen waiting for my omelette to be ready. Then I'd roll it, you know, and hold it by my teeth, out of my mouth. That's the way I'd have my lunch. You know, that was my omelette. So for quite some time, I had to do it. And Baba served food with his own hands. For all, he looked so graceful and delicate and that sadras, so frail sometimes, but he was so strong. So he would, serve tea for the others in a kettle that big, aluminum kettle, which he would have to double up in order to lift. And Baba just lifted with one hand and serve each one. So here was this big thing of rice, and Baba was there and giving each one rice, and then the dal. So I must have hesitated, not knowing what to do. Immediately, Baba says, what? You don't like dal? Oh, I love dal, Baba. Well then, don't you want dal? Oh, yes, Baba, but you told me that, but the doctor says no. What doctor? Said, you told me to do whatever the doctor said. The doctor told you not to have dal? I said, yes, the doctor told not to have dal. Ah, that doctor is a barber. You know, no good. Down. Come on, have this. So for the first time, I had rice and dal, and I appreciated rice and dal in its own right, not as a substitute for the pulaus and the meat biryanis, and but in its own right. Ah, to me it was tastier than any biryani, tastier than anything that I'd had here. So you see how Baba does it? Not all the time, oh, I can't have that, so I'm having rice and dal. Oh, rice and dal. That's the way he replaces our wants, which have become... which has started as need, which we call need, That's the way they substitute with a charted as needs, which we call needs. That's the way they substitute with a habit. These habits that we have from so many lives, and we have had from this hour, we have to replace those habits with Baba's habits. We're not really doing everything because we like it, but because we have been in the habit of it. But like any other habit, you can't be rid of habits entirely, but you can replace it. Have another one in its place. And that's the only thing that helps. I still remember I had it out with a clock in the East Room when we were very, very close to the light that we had. That's the time when, as I said, when Mara was told not to read at all. Not only not spiritual books, not to read at all. Now, I was always with Mara and was the closest companion, and I would see to things like that. So no reading means no reading anything, like you see Wednesday, Saturday, November, nothing. So when the only place we had was the room and the kitchen, where we spent half the day. So on the kitchen shelf is those tin boxes, which didn't have the things in it, but we acquired the empty tin boxes to put other things in. So there'd be Quaker Oats, there'd be Sanatogen, there'd be this or that. And poor Naja had put on it labels to say, this is tea, this is this. Well, if Mara couldn't read, all that had to be covered. So I'd go and plaster everything with other labels, you know. For her, she was very fond of reading. I was very fond of just the right kind of book. So then, your weakness, Baba uses it when you give it to him, and it becomes your strength. Like Baidu, the mask hunter, he was a very nosy parker. Really, that's the only word I can use. A real nosy parker. A very, he had a curiosity, a huge curiosity about it. Naturally, it was his temperament, you know. But see how Baba used it? He's the only one who could find out everything about a mask in a strange town, in a strange city, a strange village. Well, he's a stranger, that's what I mean. A stranger goes up and finds that there is a mask here and finds out everything about the mask. What is he like? Where does he come from? Only he could do it. So you see, that weakness, because Baba used it, became a strength. Baba will use everything, anything that you give. The only point is, are you giving it to him? Baba will use everything, anything that you give. The only point is, are you giving it to him? Because even while we say we would like him to have it, we hold on. We like our little thing. I think I'm getting into the habit of talking a lot. I think you're itching.
Let them have a taste of how Baba one day chided you for the slip in the world season table.
Listen. You see, I learned very early that you can't have it both ways. That there's no compromise in that way. It's Baba or yourself. You can't have Baba and yourself both. I mean, it's whatever Baba wants or whatever you want. You can't have both because they're different ones. So you can't compromise. I learned that very early. Because as I say, as a child, I had a lot of love from Baba. I've always had it. But I mean, as a child, I had a lot of cuddling and playing. He would even make faces at me to make me laugh. And I'd play with him. One of the things, this is, you know, which is my little finger, that kind of games with me, you know. So, and I would be with Baba wherever he was. The men and women always were segregated, always separate. So if Baba was with the women, I'd be there. If Baba was with the men, I'd be there. So you see, it was a... So one day there was a program. Baba was seated on the gadi and they were all gathered before him. the women this side, a sort of a screen in between, the men this side, but both can see Baba. And of course, I know that as soon as I go over, I always get a lot of loving from Baba, cuddling. And I was never modest about Baba's love for me. We were never modest about the fact that he was my brother, who happened to be God. So I would tell myself as a child, because I went to a Catholic school for learning and a convent, and then I said, my dear, look at that. They talk about Godfathers and Godmothers, but nobody talks about Godbrother, because nobody has a Godbrother. I'm the only one, see. So I was very proud of that. So here was this program, singing program or some program, I really don't remember that. I think it was a singing program, Kawali program, and they were all gathered before Baba. So now I was to come, so instead of being with them right away, I went back, because one of the things I'd got for myself from Pune, in my bag, one of the things I packed was those, what you call candy, what we call peppermints, we used to call peppermint or lozenges. And these were British kind, called bullseye, big, like big marbles. And there were stripes, black and white stripes, the other there was white and red stripes. It was a big thing. So I said, I'll pop it in my mouth, and I'll have Baba, as well as while we're listening to the music, I'll have this lozenge. So I go in with that big thing in my mouth, and I walk straight to Baba, you know, and Baba gives me a cuddle and all. And I'm always aware that, are they all seeing me? Are they all watching me? See what I'm getting here? Yeah, they're seeing me. So, and then Baba makes me sit down next to him on the floor, on the carpet. Baba's on a little higher, on the gadi, low gadi, and I'm on the ground. And of course, I'm facing them, and I'm very much aware that they're seeing me. And so I look up at Baba, and Baba caresses my hair. And then he takes my head and puts it on his lap, you know? So I'm like this. And I could actually hear a gasp from the women saying, look at that lucky girl. Look what she's getting. And I was in ecstasy. Not for long. I suddenly realized that this is not the right position for swallowing when that lozenge is now going to melt. And before I knew it, the saliva was gathering, the sweet saliva, but I couldn't swallow it. All my mind was on that. And I was coming there, and I was getting more. I was like in a dentist chair at last. Relief for a while. I couldn't live. I don't. Because Baba kept his hand on my head very lovingly, you know. There was my sweet sister, kid sister. And now I'm in this agony nobody knows about. Everybody sees the ecstasy, you see? And this went on throughout the program, every now and then. It's a big thing, that wretched thing was so big. And just when the Kawali program finished, my lozenge finished. I couldn't believe it. And I told myself, never again. It's either just Baba or just the lozenge. Not both. Then there was another thing that Erich wants me to tell. I'll be brave. It's the only time that Baba slapped me. And it was such a wonderful lesson. And of course, I was told that it's a real blessing when any master, you know, when you get a slap or a beating or a hitting from, then it's a real blessing. In fact, even at Upasani Maharaj, when they would go, there's a story that a new daughter-in-law had come into this family's home. The son had newly married, had married, and the daughter-in-law had come, and she was a new girl. And so they were devotees of Upasani Maharaj. So they told her also to go and be there when the others go for darshan of Upasani Maharaj. And the mother-in-law said, the mother-in-law tells the girl, and be sure to get a beating from Upasani Maharaj before you come home. Because he was a fiery person. But you know, their beating is not the same. Their anger is not as we call it. So you go and don't come home till you get a beating from him. Because she wanted, I'd heard all that sort of, I heard it later perhaps. I was very little then. I think I was about 6, 7, 8, between that age. Maybe 7. So anyway, one day again, there was a program. Baba was seated on the gadi. His men were this side, his disciples, and the women disciples were this side. And there was a sheet in between, tied to the poles, so that it segregated them. They couldn't see each other. So I come, and as I walk in, I see everybody's slippers are outside, You know, you always remove the shoes and slippers like you're doing here now. Keeps clean and nice, and it's a respect. So I see that they're all seated, and I, of course, walk down that aisle. There's an aisle where you can walk. It's made of sheets. But there's this aisle dividing the men and the women. And Baba is right in front. They can both see him. And I walk down the aisle. I go shuffle straight to Baba and stand there. And I know that I'm going to be, you know, cuddled, and Baba smile at me. And instead, as I'm standing there, Baba gives one look at me. I swear he hadn't looked down. He just looks at me. Then he puts back his hand and gave me a resounding slap. That was the first and last time. I couldn't believe it. None of the others could believe it. It just absolute pin drop silence. And Baba's eyes fire. And he says to me, all of them have removed their slippers out there. Look, who do you think you are? Oh, go and remove your slippers. And I straighten right, I turn around, and I go right out, and I remove my slippers, and then I come and sit with the women. With a clap. And everybody says from there, Mani, Baba wants you. Mani, Baba wants you. Baba wants you. Baba's calling. All the women are saying to me, Mani, I love you. I'm pouting. Go on, Baba's calling. How could I wasn't going. So actually, they were pushing me, so Baba, because I was little. They lifted me, you know. So when you lifted, you're seen by all. So I had to go. So I walk very stiffly, straight, unrelenting, as if nothing has happened. I just go and stand before him. And then he just gathers me into his arm. That's what I want. And then he just gathers me into his arm. That's what I want. And then he covers me and I went back. And then everybody will make me, you know, I have blessed person.
Everyone who would like to go to Mara, she's
yes,
going
please.
For lunch, so
yes.
That's a good time to go.
Indeed. This, will you take the strawberry? His giving. The reason why he's giving is silent is because that's not what we are expecting. We can only see what we have expected or what we have asked for. And if that is invisible to us, we feel he has not given. But once we start to see what he gives silently, then there's so much. But now we hadn't any of that, even an intuition. But and yet, looking back, we see that Baba made it very clear that this was to happen. Very clear in a number of ways. But we didn't see it at the time. Afterwards it all came out. Oh yes, Baba did make that clear. Oh yes, Baba said this. Oh, remember Baba did this. And why didn't we see it at the time? Because at the same time he had covered her eyes with his hand. Yes, Steve, but where is Steve?
Bill is here. Let's hear Bill first.
Ah, Bill Clip! What did they call you? Bill Clip? It's still within Maya, still within illusion. So there will still have to be fighting, there will still have to be the oppressions that we go through now. But it will be a different kind. It will be this kind. You can't eat anymore, but you
right.
can't say no, because, you know, with so much love, you have to accept.
The tyranny of love is
yeah.
With the, there was the last day we were there, there was...
About 4 or 5 years ago. When everybody said, oh, but you have a fabulous memory for names, Mani. How do you remember so many names? So many with Baba is a pilgrimage in the real sense. But they understood it to be a pilgrimage to Haridwar, where we were going, of course. But so they would come and bow down to us. They would touch our feet so that a part, a share of their pilgrimage is also taken to where we're going. Because we're going to Haridwar for pilgrimage. Anybody who bows down to us, we take a bit of them too. You see, it's a lovely, lovely custom. But we were walking miles and miles and miles and from starting very early, long before the sunrise, and we'd go. So at one point we had walked miles and miles, and that was the caravan way ahead, and then the animals, and then the bullock carts and all, and we women were always there, and Baba with Erich would be a little distance in front of us. Just then, a bullock cart, it isn't on the road, it's on the highway. A bullock cart rambles by, like sometimes buses go by, cars go by, a bullock cart is rambling by. And, you know, the tempo of a bullock cart is so soothing. It's no matter if there's a Mercedes car at the back, I'm saying, beep, 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 get out of the way. I'm in a hurry. The one in the bullock cart will just amble along, probably sitting on a haystack and singing, and then turns around after a while, oh, it's you. So as we were walking, Meru and I and Kavira Mera, so as we were going by, this man, the bullock cart driver, turns and says, I'll give you a ride. Why don't you sit in my cart? I mean, he'd been, see that we've come a long way. Obviously, he guessed that. He said, sit down in my cart. Oh, no, said Meru and I. Thank you very much. But we can't, you see. This is our pilgrimage, and we have to go on foot. Oh, really? The reverence that came on his face. Oh, you have to make the pilgrimage on foot. You know, that respect, that reverence. And, you know, you felt a bit, of course, you know, must have. Because hardly a half a minute after that, a few moments after that, comes a clap. Man, Baba says, the message is, women, get into the caravan. Boy, this had never happened before, because caravan is for nighttime, for, you know, it's our bedroom. Wherever we are stationed, in the park or under the trees or in the, or wherever, it's in the open. But this is, you know, instead of walking, women sit in the caravan. We just got into the caravan. This is great. And, you know, the caravan has, New Life Caravan has those little windows.
Yeah.
So, Meru looking out from one window, Mani looking out of another window. Oh, this is great. Without walking, you know, our tired legs were not moving anymore, but we were moving and we could see everything going on. And after a few moments, a bullock cart goes by. And we're looking very interestedly, and suddenly I see a very hurt face, a man with a look on his face that was such a deeply wounded and disillusioned face looking. And I suddenly realized, I said, Meru duck! But it was too late. It was the man of the bullock cart who had been told by these two angelic ladies that they were going for a pilgrimage and they had to travel by foot. And all the time they were deceiving him. And here we are in this nice caravan going along at a nice clippity clop. I never get over that. So as soon as he went by the bullock cart man, after a while, another clap. Women, get down from the caravan. Start walking. Okay, we were walking like this. We went walking like this.
Did you go to a cafe?
He attends to
you were
the
telling...
inside and the outside, doesn't he?
Yes.
He attends to the inside and the outside.
Exactly. Steve, you were telling us that Chintasana...
We don't like them.
You see, the main basic thing about, like, Florence Nightingale, Joan of Arc, is the voice they have heard, the voice that has commanded them to do. I mean, when I read the life of Florence Nightingale, who was so finicky, who was, you know, about her person, her things, and then suddenly what she chose to be at that time, defying all the times that she lived in. But they say that the voice that command, when the voice of God command, you can never deny it. And Joan of Arc had heard that too, although she was a peasant girl. And when it comes, this is clearer than any voice. And you can't shut it off. Then you have to do it. So they're the ones who are blessed. So really, it's God's hand. God is doing that, but he chooses these particular souls for their connection, their purity, for their use.
She was one that was, her voice was used.
She had heard the voice.
Yeah.
Yes. Otherwise, it's not possible. I like Mother Teresa. Just once, somewhere in a book, I read something when she said the voice, and I said, ah, she too has heard the voice. You do that. Go out and to the poor, serve the poor. Serve me in the destitute, the lowest of the low. In that comic book thing. So it's that. You see, even Baba has said about great artists or singers or whatever, when it's to that perfection, why they can reach that height, why there's this genius in whatever it is they do, is because they forget themselves. They're so obsessed with that. It's such a tremendous thing that you yourself is forgotten. And that kind of remembering, when you can do for God, that's when you win. Because remembering Him while we are very much there with us. We remember ourselves so much, we're doing, and yet we're remembering Him. Is the difference? We remember ourselves so much, we're doing, and yet we're remembering Him. We remember ourselves so much, we're doing, and yet we're remembering Him. It's a different kind of remembrance. But of forgetting yourself and remembering Him, that's pleasing Himself at the cost of not pleasing yourself, remembering Him by forgetting your own wants, your own likes, your own wishes, that's real remembrance. So remembering Him is a forgetting. It's in the two scales. If this goes up, then this goes down. That is the real remembrance. So even apart from spiritual things, Baba, when Baba said that about some great artist or anything, it's because if, to me, I think even any perfection, not only music and the arts, but even a theft, when it's done to that perfection, you can't help admiring it. Because it's something that's that height, you know. It's easier for them from there to leap. Towards self-forgetfulness and leap towards God. As Baba himself has said that is the focus. You know, when man, when we reach the stage of man, we are fully conscious. There's nothing now to gain further as far as consciousness is concerned. All the labor that we did in the evolution, all that we went through is to gain this consciousness of as man, we are fully conscious. There's nothing to keep us now from being God. From realizing God, from consciously knowing you are God. There's nothing to keep us. But because of that, that consciousness is focused like a flashlight onto this gross world, this thing that we've gone through. But it's full, and that is the important thing. Then when that focus moves, then you experience the subtle, mental, inner. But it's the focus. That is why sometimes I say that in spite of all the things that are happening today, in spite of the world being so topsy-turvy, values, the whole thing, it's constructive all the same. Because the energy has been generated. That, you know, you're moving towards it. Young ones are turning their backs to materialism. They may be fumbling, they may be not doing it in the right way, but as I said, the thirst has begun. So they may come to a well and say, ah, this is the ocean. They may go to a pond and say, this is it. That doesn't matter, the thirst has been created. So that what generated, it's simply what is now focused towards worldly things, that same force, that same energy, one is, the focus is moved to God, from gold to God. But it's there. And then, you're the winner. But that, this also is, even what you, we can see as being negative, is towards that constructive aim. Because this is revving up the energy in our car. Then, because this is revving up the energy in our car. Then, he's patient. Baba is very patient. Sometimes when I feel impatient with someone, I tell myself, you can't be. See how patient Baba was with that? With all, with everyone. And in silence. Sometimes
what,
it amuses
what
me.
What led you to think that she was the minor incarnation because of the form that we were talking about?
Because the last time, in 76, we talked about it, and I couldn't remember exactly what you said about Shambhala.
Russia, is Dara's thing working?
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
No, it doesn't.
No, I couldn't have said anything about that. About Joan of Arc being the minor incarnation.
I read somewhere a little quoted, God couldn't be physically everywhere at the same time, and so he made mothers. It's his love and caring for his. So in the same way, you see, he puts these world mothers, these figures, Florence Nightingale for helping the helpless there, Mother Teresa, Joan of Arc, and all, you know, it's God, it's him. He made mothers, see? Okay.
Yes. And what is it?
I can't believe that the avatar eternally is as happy as happy, except as an allegory. And I find that extremely hard to believe. It disturbs me, actually. It disturbs my intellect.
So why, who forces you to believe it?
But it disturbs me that you would say that as a fact.
I say that it has been recorded that such a thing did happen. In order.